This is Digital Story Podcast number 890, April 11th, 2023. Today's theme is The Thing About Sunsets and Other Notes from Maui. I'm Derek Story. When you're on an island in the Pacific during springtime, the sky is a moving picture of clouds. And when the sun begins to set, well, that's the main feature. Photographers are drawn to sunsets like a moth to a flame. And in my view, there's more to it than just another pretty picture. This and other notes from Maui on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. Well, here I am in Maui. I've been here for a few days now, and I have a few days to go. And I'm recording in my hotel room, looking out over the Pacific Ocean through a big slider door. Wish I was out there right now, but you know what? Soon enough, right? Soon enough. Okay. First, we have some things to take care of, and I want to talk about sunsets because, well, you know, we tend to not discredit sunsets, but downplay them. Taking those pictures, sharing them. It's like, oh, it's a sunset. But yet, it's so beautiful, right? Sunsets can be absolutely fabulous. So I was going to talk a little bit about them because when you're somewhere like this, on an island in the Pacific, sunsets are quite the deal. So I have a little something to read to you here, and then we'll continue the conversation from there. Sunset's about a quarter to seven in Maui these days. So around 6 p.m., regardless of what you were doing, we usually put a bookmark there and head down to the beach. It's fun to watch the gathering crowd in what has become an evening tradition on the upper west side of the island. Some folks bring fish and veggies to barbecue while others are holding cocktails in plastic cups. And you can hear fragments of conversations wafting in the air. The other night, as the sky was lighting up in shades of orange and blue, one lady walked by and noticed how stunning it was. "Will a picture of that turn out?" she asked out loud. To anyone, basically. I said, "Of course. Try to frame it with those palm trees. The silhouettes will add some depth to your image." "Oh, that's a good idea," she said while holding her iPhone up to the sky. She was not alone. Many of us were capturing the moment with our cameras. It's not that I have a shortage of Maui sunsets, but every one of them is a little different and often has its own story. And that's the thing about sunsets. Yes, the common denominator is that they are beautiful, but they are also different. And just because you captured one the night before doesn't mean you should pass on the next, because they will be as unique as two snowflakes landing on a frozen leaf. One of the reasons I never get tired of photographing Maui sunsets is because I always have the other elements to play with. On the horizon, there are the islands of Molokai and Lanai that always attract their own clouds. I can count on at least one sailboat drifting by. And then there are the silhouettes of palm trees and people in the foreground. No reasonable photographer can turn their back on a striking sunset without pulling out their camera. Nor should they. There is no better way to end the day than standing with loved ones and strangers, admiring nature's final flourish before the evening stars take over the sky. So sunsets indeed are wonderful shots. Yes, you know, we see them on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. You know, I get it. But when you're in a setting where you can incorporate other elements into a sunset picture, it is really something else. So first of all, the sunset is the centerpiece, but it's not the only element in the composition, right? I'm always looking for foreground elements. I'm looking for, you know, different cloud formations in the sky. I'm looking to see what's happening on the water if I'm lucky enough to have that element in the shot. So sunsets are really about having access to a bunch of different elements that complement the sunset itself. And when you're in that situation, you should absolutely take the shot, especially if it's a spectacular sunset. Now, the one thing, or the one time, I should say, that I get a little frustrated with sunsets is when there's a beautiful thing blooming in the sky, and all I have is telephone wires and ugly buildings and things like that to work with. And it goes such a waste, because I know that just shooting the sunset itself is not going to be enough, right? You need all those other elements. And when you have all those other elements available to you, I say shoot as many sunsets as you want and hang on to them, because, you know, that is a special thing. And I'll tell you, when I go through my pictures from the Hawaiian Islands, I mean, I have been coming here with my family for almost 20 years now. When I go through those pictures, it's fun to see the boys. It's fun to see Teresa. It's fun, all of that, you know, and those are great memories. But part of those great memories are some of the sunsets that are there as well, where I go, I remember that sunset. I remember that sunset. We had just finished eating at Duke's, and we walked, you know, out onto the pathway there, and boom, it just exploded, and we stood there and enjoyed it before heading back to our room. Sunsets are really special, and I think if you can put yourself in a situation, or find yourself in a situation where all the other elements are there, please, please, please do not discount the magical moment that is a sunset and how wonderful it is to capture it in the lens of your camera. Meet me at high noon. If sunsets are the epitome of beauty and ease, photography at high noon is its scurrilous sibling. With the sun high overhead and the landscape bathed in a harsh, contrasty light, compositions can be a real challenge, but I'm ready for that, right? I'm ready for that, and I know I've talked about this before, but as we head in to the late spring and summer months here in North America, it's worth repeating to be ready for that high noon stuff, because you don't want to stop taking pictures just because the light isn't absolutely perfect, just because it isn't 6 p.m. or just because it isn't 6 a.m., right? There's a lot of day in between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. for sure. So I was ready for it. So I had the Fujifilm X100V I was banging around with, and I put the Hoya R72 infrared filter in the bag, and off I went. And we went to this area that was a lava flow. It was a lava flow that they actually cut a road through to get to a trailhead there, right on the ocean's beach there. This is in Maui, a little farther south from where we are. You know, we're up in Kaanapali, which is north of Lahaina, and this is going down to Wailea. So down more, still on the west side of the island, but much further south. And so there's a big lava flow there, and they cut a road through it, and you can kind of drive through it. It's kind of a crazy drive. And then you could take this hike through the lava flow, and then you have these beautiful views of the ocean. It's really kind of a wild place. I focused on being in the lava area itself because I was so fascinated by it. There's the black lava rock, and then there are lots of plants, you know, not big plants. There's some trees, but, you know, mostly stuff that's low to the ground in the middle of the flow. And then, of course, a nice sky, which you get this time of year on the island. So I thought, wow, black lava, plants that will turn, you know, very bright colored with infrared, crazy sky. I go, this is an IR scene. So I used the R72 filter, and I went to monochrome plus red on the X100V, and I shot RAW plus JPEG, and I have both the RAW files and the JPEGs. And I'm just shooting away, and it's completely different than when we're trying to capture color this time of day. All those elements that we normally consider a problem were a benefit, if nothing else. And I shot some wild stuff. I've never really shot infrared in this kind of setting before, and it was absolutely crazy. And the nice thing about it is I have the black and white workshop and the infrared workshop, bang, bang, coming up. And one of the weeks on the black and white workshop, we work with black and white IR photography. And so me being in the situation and getting some fresh stuff for that just made me as happy can be. So when you're traveling and you don't have complete control of when you go out and take pictures, this is just a reminder that if you think ahead a little bit and if you're prepared, you can get some great stuff, even at high noon. DP Review Closure and Update. And this is from dpreview.com, and I have a link to the original article. Here's what they have to say. We received a lot of questions about what's next for the site. We hear your concerns about losing the content that has been carefully curated over the years and want to assure you that the content will remain available as an archive. We also hear that you need more time to access the site, so we're going to keep publishing some more stories while we're working on the archiving. Thank you to this community and the support you've shown us over the years. It doesn't sound like, in terms of hanging on, curating, archiving the content, and then having it available to us, is going to be as bad as it initially sounded. They probably got a ton of feedback from many different angles on this. And I think they have, you know, plotted a new direction. At least that's the way it feels to me, and it feels like the right course. So now this is kind of tough for folks that scrambled to grab all of that content and begin organizing, thinking that it was going to go away. There's probably a lot of people hours there. But overall, I think this is good that DP Review is going to curate the content. And I still think it's good that other people are too, because who's going to have the best interface for accessing all this great stuff? That remains to be seen. The fact of the matter is we're still going to be able to get our hands on it. And that, my friend, is good news. This week on Live View. Now, I talked about Live View last week. It launched last week. It's a new publication on Medium.com that I am the editor for, and that we have many writers from our community participating. So this is a family operation we have here. So we have two news stories this week. The first one is Get Outside and Leave That Big Camera Behind. And that is by Scott Houston, who is a Virtual Camera Club member. And then I am publishing How to Make Your RAW Files Look Even Better. And I have been working on this article for a while. And the thinking about it is that, yeah, we're all familiar with RAW. We're all familiar that you can recover, you know, highlights and, you know, bring up shadow detail. You know, we know all that and that it's non-destructive. But the tools for working with our RAW files have continued to evolve. And there's a lot of things that we can do with the initial processing of a RAW file. And there are things that we can do to shape the RAW file before we even begin our creative editing to better suit our tastes, you know, to customize the RAW file, so to speak. And I'm not just talking about the creative stuff. I'm talking about, you know, things like distortion and pre-sharpening and chromatic aberration, stuff like that. That's what this article is about. And then I touch on some of the options that we have with Lightroom Classic, with Capture One Pro, with DxO Pure RAW 3, all these sort of things. If you shoot RAW, you know, I think you really want to take a look at it just to make sure that you're tapping all of the quality choices and all the creative choices that are available to you working in this format. So that is going to be the other story this week on Live View. And if you want to check out the publication, medium.com/live-view. medium.com/live-view. And of course, the link is in the show notes. Hope to see you there. Tesla sued over a report employees shared private car camera footage. And you can read the entire article on petapixel.com. Let me read you a little bit of it right now. Since at least 2019, the cameras in Tesla vehicles captured highly invasive videos and images of the car's owners, which Tesla employees were able to access, not for the stated purposes of communication, fulfillment of services, and enhancement of Tesla vehicle driving systems, but for the tasteless entertainment of Tesla employees, and perhaps those outside the company, and the humiliation of those recorded, the lawsuit reads. Quote, by virtue of this defective system, Tesla employees accessed and circulated recordings of Tesla customers in private and embarrassing situations without their consent, including, for example, video of a man approaching a Tesla vehicle completely naked, and video of vehicle crashes and road rage incidents, the lawsuit continues. Tesla employees also shared pictures of family pets, which were made into memes by embellishing them with captions or commentary before posting them in group chats. While some postings were only shared between a few employees, others could be seen by scores of Tesla employees. And as is common with internet culture, many of these videos and images were likely shared with persons outside the company. Multiple reports have confirmed that Tesla employees were able to view the images of customers through companies' cars and share them amongst each other, despite Tesla's own privacy statements. This is the darn thing that we keep running into with technology. AirTags, for example, which I think were a great, not idea by Apple. They actually, someone else actually thought of it first. Apple sort of, you know, took it and refined it. But the idea that you could have put a tag in your camera bag, and then if you misplaced your camera bag, you could see its location on your phone. That's like a pretty good idea. And then how suddenly AirTags were being used to stalk people, you know, without them knowing. The camera system on Teslas is really crazy. It's very interesting. It has a lot of different options, and it can watch things when you're not there, and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And the system itself is, you know, very sophisticated. That sounds like a really good idea, and I'm sure there are many, 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 many super positive uses for it. But the idea that technology can just as easily be perverted by people who, you know, honestly, just don't care about people's privacy or their rights or even just respecting your fellow human beings. We just see that over and over again. And what do you do about this? Do you try to just stop the progress of technology? Do you incorporate better guardrails into these systems so that they're, you know, more difficult to corrupt? That's the kind of camp I'm in right there, because I don't think you can stop the march of technology. But certainly, you know, we can't make it so easy for people's rights to be trampled by technology. This is an interesting story because, once again, it highlights how a good idea can be turned on its head and used, well, you know, disrespectfully. And I think Tesla needs to get down to the bottom of this and get those guardrails in place so that Tesla owners can have their privacy protected and still enjoy the technology that Tesla has developed for their cars. Portrait Beast, we review the Viltrox 75mm f1.2 lens for Fujifilm. And this article is on f-stoppers, and I just wanted to point out, because it is such a glowing review for a 75mm f1.2 autofocus lens that looks great, performs great, but yet you can get it at B&H for $549. The review is quite extensive, and if you shoot Fujifilm, you probably want to go over to f-stoppers. I have the link in the notes, and read the entire article. I'll read you just a bit here so you can get a feel for this optic. The Viltrox 75mm f1.2 autofocus lens is the first in their high-end Pro Series line, and it's clear from the first opening of the box that this lens means business. It's all metal and feels extremely robust, with smooth focusing barrel and aperture ring that has just the right amount of resistance to click into place without feeling cumbersome. The lens is certainly not as small or light, but I found it quite comfortable to use. I really like the way it pairs with the Fujifilm X-T5, not only aesthetically, but more importantly, it balances nicely with the camera, especially for a lens with a full-frame focal length equivalent of 112.5 millimeters. I love the beautiful colors, pleasing skin tones, and excellent contrast. Portrait photographers will absolutely love the bokeh, and someone who enjoys shooting wide open, this lens hits the spot. Regarding image quality, it is one of the best lenses I've tested and certainly rivals the quality I get with my Fujifilm lenses. Aside, that is saying something. I mean, that is really saying something. That's high praise indeed. I upgraded the firmware to version 1.0.2 after my studio session, and there was a noticeable difference in the autofocus performance. I thought that the autofocus was good even before the update, so having a slight bump in performance was a nice touch. One thing I really appreciate is how quiet the lens is. The STM motor is fast and almost silent, and when using it with eye tracking, I was able to achieve excellent and consistent results with the X-T5. There is some flaring with this lens when shooting in direct sunlight, and he kind of put this through the test. He concludes with, outside of some flaring when shooting in direct sunlight, I really can't find anything negative to say about the Viltrox 75mm f1.2. In fact, from the moment I put it on my camera, I fell in love with it because it handles like a much more expensive Fujifilm lens in terms of design performance and, most importantly, image quality. I think that Viltrox has hit a home run with this lens, and for those of us who shoot with Fujifilm cameras, it is a very appealing lens in terms of focal length, autofocus, and overall quality. It's available on B&H. I have a link in the show notes for $549. So if you're a Fujifilm shooter and you're looking for a portrait lens, very high quality, large aperture, good color, smooth bokeh, all that kind of stuff, and not break the bank, this one looks like a candidate. Again, you can check out the entire review on F-Stoppers or go over to B&H and look at what they have to say about it there. All right, stick here, a little virtual camera club news. The Nimble Photographer newsletter is publishing every Thursday, and every week is something a little bit different than the week before. That's part of the fun with it. You don't know exactly what you're going to get. If you're interested in checking it out, it is free. There's a link to it in the show notes. There's a newsletter link on thedigitalstory.com, and there's a link to it at thenimblephotographer.com. I don't think you'll have a hard time finding it, and I hope you join us. We're having a lot of fun with it. Want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. By the way, they were the ones that I polled when I was working on the RAW article because I wanted to find out what enthusiasts, photographers, and pros, what they like about RAW. I mean, what most importantly do they like about RAW? And so I said, okay, let's see what our crew has to say. And, you know, that gave me just a great baseline for working on the article because, okay, my assumption about what photographers already like about RAW was confirmed by our Virtual Camera Club members, so then that way I felt confident going on to the other usages, you know, that I wrote about in the article. And it sounds like a small thing, I tell you, but, you know, when you're a content creator, a writer, a journalist, all that kind of stuff, you know, having that baseline that you have confidence in that supports your theory is super important. You know, not just, well, I think that, or that's what I hear, but when you have actual people telling you, you know, yeah, this is why I like the raw format. This is why I use it. You know, and you have their actual words. That is ginormous. And that's just one of the many things, you know, that we enjoy in the inner circle, because not only were they getting to express what they like about Raw, they're getting to see what their comrades liked about it too. And they compare notes and they add on to each other, all that kind of stuff. It's really fun to talk about stuff that we're passionate about with other people who's passionate about it too. And that's really what the inner circle is all about. If you're interested in supporting this podcast, this community, and becoming part of it, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story, and that will get you headed in the right direction. And a big thanks to our inner circle members for all the things that you guys and gals do for us. And finally, I'd like to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that put the fun in inkjet printing. At least that's the case for me. As I'm working on this black and white workshop coming up, because of the work that I've been doing with Red River Paper, I'm going to be able to add a module on black and white printing for the black and white workshop, which I wasn't able to do in the past because I just didn't have it together in time and there's other things I wanted to focus on. Well, this time I do have it together because we're coming off the black and white workshop where I spent so much time prepping for that, and we brought in Red River Paper to help us, you know, fine tune everything. And now I'm able to add that module to the upcoming black and white photography workshop. And again, when you have partners that support you beyond just writing a check every month to pay for the, you know, podcasting fees, it makes a big difference because it propels us forward. It allows us to go into new areas. It allows us to keep exploring and trying new things. And that's the kind of partner we have in Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. They have a Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a huge thanks to them for supporting this community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week from Maui. The sun is starting to get a little bit lower in the sky. I'm feeling the call to grab a cold drink, head out to the beach, and watch the sunset. I'll be back in the studio next week with more great content. Until then, have a wonderful week. Get creative. Stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.